Spirit and in truth. Hope that the Bible lesson this morning was profitable to you, and I hope that this sermon will be of value to you, at least some benefit to each and every one of us. Well, we've been talking about many lessons along the way this year, taking the theme statement from Joshua chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, when your children ask, you shall answer them. We've talked about a lot of things, how we got our Bible, we've talked about the creation, we've talked about God, we've talked about Christ, we've talked about a good number of topics under that theme so far. And we'll cover, Lord willing, by the end of the year, several other things that we need to know, and we need to learn. Maybe it's our first time hearing them, or we need to be reminded of if we have heard them, but maybe in time we've let them fall by way of forgetfulness. I know sometimes I'm more forgetful than I am better at remembering things. And so we all need to be reminded. This morning I want us to talk about the time will come when your children ask you concerning who the devil is. What does the Bible say about Satan? What does the Bible say about the devil? We are limited to what we know concerning the devil by what the Bible says. Nothing more, nothing less can be learned than what the Bible says concerning the devil. Any other thing would just be pure speculation. It would be conjecture on our part to try to come up with something in addition to what the Bible says concerning the devil. All that God desired for us to know about the devil, He saw fit to put in the book. And so we've got to turn our attention to what the Bible says about the devil if we're going to know what God would have us to know about the devil. And the Bible says many things concerning him. And we had read for our scripture reading. Ethan did a good job in reading it from Ephesians chapter 6 and then verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand against all the fiery darts of the devil. And so we need to be able to withstand against the wiles of the devil, the fiery darts of the devil, against the evil one. And there's no way that we're going to do that ill-equipped or ill-prepared. So in the context of Ephesians chapter 6, he's talking about the whole armor of God, the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, feet shod with the preparation of the gospel, the breastplate of righteousness, and so forth. So we need to be prepared to be able to stand against the devil. If we're not prepared, then certainly the devil will take and get the advantage of it. So the Bible says that we don't want to do that, lest he get the advantage of us. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and then verse 11. And so this lesson hopefully will put us in a better position to answer our children when they ask us who the devil is. Again, we have to go to the book to see what the Bible says about him. If you were to answer the question, what does the Bible say about the devil? What would you say? How would you respond to that? If I were to ask you to take out a slice of paper and begin to list some things that the Bible says concerning the devil, what would you put on that paper? Hopefully you'd be able to put something on there. But I want to give you some things. If you're taking notes, all the outlines in the back are gone. If you want an outline, let me know and I'll make sure that you get one. But I'm only going to give you about 13 things that the Bible says concerning the devil in our short time together this morning. All of them taken from no other source than the Bible. And the first one that I want you to think about is found in the book of John, chapter 8. All these passages should be familiar with each of us. As we students of the Bible, or reading the Bible, studying and learning the things in the Bible, I want us to begin with John chapter 8, verse 42. Jesus said unto them, if God were your Father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but He sent me. It's another among so many passages in the Bible that deal a death blow to the oneness doctrine that the Father and the Son are the same person. This passage won't allow that. Jesus came from the Father, sent from the Father, says in the passage. He says, why do you not understand my speech, even because you cannot hear my word? Now watch this. Ye are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. That's pretty strong language. How would you like to be on the receiving end of that rebuke? You're of your father. You're not of the heavenly father. Of your father and the lust of your father you'll do. Now watch what he says. He was a murderer from the beginning. And abode not in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And so the first thing among a few things that we can learn about the devil, a couple or three of them found in this passage, is that the devil was a murderer from the beginning. Well, I want to know how the devil was a murderer from the beginning. The Bible often talks about beginnings, and it makes a good study for us when we talk about Bible beginnings. And Jesus is referring them all the way back to the beginning of the creation and says that the devil was a murderer from the beginning. Well, you know the creation account, Genesis chapters 1 and 2, and the fact that God created all things, including man, and then he saw that it was not good for man to be alone and made that statement in Genesis chapter 2, and he said, I'll make a help that is appropriate for him. And so, by divine anesthetic, he caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and while he was sleeping, he took a rib and made the first woman. We recently studied about that, talked about that as we talked about putting back in the home the divine institution arrangement for the home. One man and one woman for a lifetime. But he takes them back to the beginning. God had told them, put them in the garden and told them of all the trees of the garden, thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which is in the midst of the garden, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Then in chapter 3, what happens? The devil comes on the scene, and he tempts the woman, and she responds to him by telling him what God had commanded. God said, don't eat it. Remember what the devil said? You shall not surely die. She succumbed to that temptation and she ate of it. She also gave to her husband and he ate of it. The eyes of them both were open. They knew that they were naked. And in a feeble attempt to hide their nakedness, they sewed together fig leaves and hid themselves from God. As a result of sin, they were separated from God spiritually, and as a result, physical death would take them one day. They died in time to come. Sin does today what it's done from the beginning. That is, it kills, it destroys, it separates one from God. Isaiah 59, verses 1 and 2. And we talked about, as we mentioned, Romans chapter 6, verse 23, that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And when Paul was writing to the church of Christ at Ephesus, notice what he penned in Ephesians chapter 2 and in verse 1. You know, an individual can be dead while they live. He points out in Ephesians 2, verse 1, and you hath he quickened. That word quickened means to make alive. Have they made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. From the beginning, the devil was a murderer. I want you to listen to me, young people and older people alive, but especially our young people. The devil will kill you. Has so since the beginning. He causes one to sin, puts things before them. Now, we understand it contributes to that, but we make the choice to do that. But also in John 8, verse 44, the Lord points out that the devil was a liar. There's no truth in him. When he speaketh of a lie, he speaketh of himself, for he is a liar and the father of it. You can't believe what the devil wants you to believe. You will not. You ought to underscore in Genesis chapter 3 and in verse 4 that word not. One word absolutely adulterates the purity of the gospel. Don't take much, does it? You think about religious people today who are teaching so many things, even on this day, the first day of the week. But yet they're not teaching the gospel. Oh, they didn't change it by much, but to change it in just the slightest is to change it completely. Thou shalt not surely died. I think about a little story that's told in the book of 1 Kings chapter 13. When a man of God was instructed of God to go and do some work. Again, in 1 Kings chapter 13, turn there with me and notice what the Bible says. It talks about this man of God who came and cried out against the altar and the word of the Lord and said, O altar, altar, thus saith the Lord, behold, a child shall be born unto the house of David, Josiah by name, and upon thee shall he offer the priests of the high places that burn incense unto thee, or upon thee, and men's bones shall be burnt upon thee. In time to come, he was invited to come home with a particular person. Verse 7, the king said unto the man of God, come home with me and refresh thyself, and I will give thee a reward. You might look at that and say, well, that's just a kind gesture of hospitality. And the man of God said unto the king, if thou wilt give me half thine house, I will not go in with thee, neither will I eat bread nor drink water in this house. Why on earth would he abstain from that? The next verse. For so it was charged me by the word of the Lord, saying, eat no bread, drink no water, turn not again by the same way that thou camest. So he went another way, and returned not by the way that he came to Bethel. In verse 11, now there dwelt an old prophet in Bethel, and his sons came and told him all the works that the man of God had done that day in Bethel, and the words which he had spoken unto the king. Then they told also to their father. And their father said unto them, what way went he? For his sons had seen what way the man of God went, which came from Judah. And he said unto his sons, saddle me the ass. So they saddled him the ass, and he rode thereon. And he goes to the man of God and tells him to come. And he says in verse 18, I'm a prophet as you are. Well, surely, couldn't you trust in what a prophet would say? A man who says, I'm a prophet like you are, well, can you not trust him? The man of God was warned of God, you don't eat, you don't drink, you don't go the same way that you came. And he says, I'm a prophet like you are. And an angel spake unto me by the word of the Lord, saying, bring him back with me into thine house, that he may eat bread and drink water. Now watch this. But he lied unto him. And guess what the man of God did? He believed this old prophet. Man who claimed that an angel came and told me this to bring you back with me and to give provision to you. But he lied to him. The man of God trusted in that, went with him, and as a result of that, he was torn of a line in the way. Don't believe what you know to be contrary to the Word of God. When the Bible says, for example, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, don't believe it when someone comes along and says, you don't have to do that. You see the point? But someone says, well, the Lord laid it on my heart. God gave me a word to say unto you. You know better, because you know that this is a complete final revelation from God to man. You know what the Word of God says because you can pick it up and read it. And so when someone tells you something contrary, don't believe it. Who's the father of it? The devil. In Jeremiah 7, verse 8, people are trusting in lies that do not profit. Don't trust or believe lies which come not from the Father of heaven, but from the devil. He's a liar and the father of it. But also the Bible identifies the devil as a deceiver. A lot of folks are deceived. They've allowed themselves to be deceived in the book of Revelation. Chapter 12 and then verse 9. Revelation 12 verse 9, the Bible says, and the great dragon which was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan. Now watch this. Which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth and angels were cast out with him. So the Bible identifies him as a deceiver. Jesus said, take heed that no man deceive you. Luke chapter 21 verse 8. 1 Corinthians 6 and then verse 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God, be not deceived, and goes through a list of them. Again, 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19. Be not deceived. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33. Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he reap. Galatians 6, and in verse 7. Don't be deceived. Who's the deceiver? The devil. And also the Bible identifies him as a tempter. Let me make correction of that. The Bible identifies him as the tempter in Matthew chapter 4. You recall after being baptized with John in the river Jordan, he came up out of the water, he went into the wilderness, and he was there for 40 days. He didn't eat anything. Afterward, what happened? He was tempted. Three occasions recorded in Matthew chapter 4, the temptation of Jesus. He fasted 40 days, 40 nights. He was afterward a hunger. Verse 3. Now watch this. And when the tempter came to him, he said, "If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread." Well, that would be a temptation. You hadn't ate anything in 40 days. Surely you'd be hungry. I wonder if Jesus was hungry. Well, the Bible says so in verse 2. Afterward, he hungered. And so the tempter came and tempted him. "Here's some stones. If you're the Son of God and you're able to do it, then cause these stones to be made bread." Jesus said, "Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God, for it is written, thou shalt live not by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." We've studied in James chapter 1, verse 14. "Let no man say when he is tempted, I'm tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man." I remember as the Lord was given a model prayer, teaching the disciples to pray, as recorded in Matthew 6. Part of what he said was, "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." Matthew 6 and then verse 13. And as I gave you the passage in 2 Peter 2 and then verse 11, that the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation, but to reserve the ungodly for judgment. 2 Peter 2 verse 9. So what does the Bible say about the devil? He's the tempter. But also he's a devourer. In 2 Peter 5 verse 8. "Be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary the devil as a roaring lion walketh about seeking whom he may devour." To swallow, to gulp down wholly is the original word from which our English word devour came from. Not nibble at it, not take a little bite, but to gulp you down, devour wholly. That's what the devil wants. The devil does not want you to be saved. And we need to understand that. He's a roaring lion, an adversary. Our adversary, the devil. 1 Peter 5 and then verse 8. So not only is he a devourer, but he is also an adversary. Satan opposes, by the way, adversary means an opponent of. He's an enemy of that which is right. God stands for what is right. The devil does not. In a lot of passages we could glean concerning the fact that the devil opposes that which is right. I may have told you 2 Peter 5:8. Earlier, that's 1 Peter 5 and then verse 8. So he's an adversary. He's a devourer. He's an adversary opposing that which is right in the sight of God. I think about in the book of Acts chapter 13. When they first got off to these missionary journeys, Paul and Barnabas, "Separate me, Paul and Barnabas, for the work whereunto I've called them," the Holy Spirit said. And they went out on these journeys. They came to a place that was called Paphos, the Isle unto Paphos, Acts chapter 13, verse 6. They found a sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew whose name was Bar-Jesus, which was with the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man who called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the word of God. I wish I'd get more calls when folks would say, "I desire to hear the word of God. Will you come teach me?" What you? Those calls and expressions of interest to know the word of God are far and few in between. But Elymas, the sorcerer, for so is his name by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. And Saul, who is also called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him and said, O full of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil. By the way, you can't be but a child of God or a child of the devil. Got to make your choice. Thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? Thou enemy, opponent, adversary of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? It's always an adversary. Then I remember reading in the book of Luke, chapter 22 and in verse 31, a time when the devil had a desire. You know the devil desires? Did you know that? The Bible identifies the devil as a desire. Luke chapter 21 and in verse 31. And actually, that is not the passage that I'm looking for. So, as you think about desires, we talked about in the Bible class this morning, things of which we desire when we have a lust for. Someone may have said it. Go ahead if you did. Luke 22 and in verse 31. If you got an outline, then you knew the right reference. I had the right reference, but I was in chapter 21. Luke 22 and in verse 31. Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath what? Desired. What did he desire? To have you, that he may sift you as wheat. I wonder how comforting it must have been to Peter to hear these next words that the Lord said to him. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Satan desires to have us, that he, and in the context that he would Peter, Satan certainly does not desire for us to go to be with God for all eternity when life is over. God desires for all men to be saved, 2 Timothy 2 and in verse 4, but the devil is against all. That is right. But also, the Bible talks about the fact that the devil is a beguiler. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and in verse 3, 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 3, but I fear lest by any means, as a serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Tempter, beguiler, deceive from the beginning. Colossians 2, verses 4 and in verse 18 talk about the fact that man can be beguiled. Don't be deceived. Take heed lest any man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he hath not seen. Again, Colossians 2, verses 4 and 18. And so the devil is a beguiler. But also the Bible talks about the fact that he is a transformer. Little kids' ears might perk up when I say that. I'm not talking about the little toy. I'm talking about 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and in verse 14. Notice what the Bible says. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. In verse 13, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves in the apostles of Christ. Verse 15, therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Transforming themselves. But yet the Bible identified them as false apostles. You know, people today claim to be false apostles, or claim to be rather apostles, and yet they're false apostles because there are no apostles today, because no man qualifies to be one. Acts chapter 1. Everyone is not to be trusted. We need to understand that. Don't be gullible. Sometimes we're a little too gullible and we think we can just trust everybody. You ever been in that position? And sometimes, folks, we think we can trust. Turn out that we couldn't trust them after all. And there needs to be a lesson learned. by us. I'm guilty of that as you are. There's times when I've trusted people and then I learned my lesson and learned it the hard way. We need to take heed to that. Be careful how much involvement you give to other people. There are people that you can trust and people that you cannot trust. Be careful what you say to people. Don't entrust other people with information that you don't want out there. If it's information you don't want others to know, then be careful who you give it to. You see that point? In 2 Peter 2 and in verse 3, as there were false prophets among the people, there should be false teachers among you. It goes so far as to even deny the Lord that bought them. And the Bible says they bring upon themselves swift destruction. 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. Beloved, believe not every spirit. Try, test, prove the spirits, whether they be of God. Why, John? For many false prophets are gone out into the world. 1 John 4 and in verse 1. Who is the devil? He's a beguiler, deceiver, a transformer. But also, he's a hinderer. He hinders. You ever been hindered? The Bible talks about the fact that the devil hinders in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and in verse 18. Come to that passage with me. 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 18. Wherefore, Paul is writing, he says, wherefore we would have come unto you, even as I, Paul, once and again, but Satan did what? Satan hindered us. Folks, you think the devil would not hinder one today? He hinders folks today as he did in the first century. I'm not saying maybe in the same, exactly the same way and scenario and situation. The devil as an opponent, as an adversary, an enemy of all righteousness will hinder the work of God from being done. You recall not too long ago, we had a good lesson on a Wednesday night on how the children of Israel built the wall in such a relatively short period of time. Their enemies hindered them from doing that. Who was back all that? The devil. You think the work here at Mill Street could not be hindered? It would be hindered if we let it be hindered. You agree? In Galatians chapter 5 and in verse 7, when Paul is writing to those of Galatia, he tells them in Galatians chapter 5, verse 1, stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made you free, and don't be entangled with the yoke of bondage. Then he tells me in verse 7, you did run well. But who hath hindered you that you should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that called you. You did run well, but who hindered you that you should not obey the truth? And then in Acts chapter 13, verse 8, as we read a moment ago, here was a false prophet that was hindering the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man who desired to hear the word of the Lord. The devil was hindering that from being done. Then some other passages you can write down. 2 Timothy 3, verse 8. Chapter 4, verses 14 and verse 15. When he talks about Jambres and talks about Alexander the coppersmith, greatly withstood our words. But then also, the Bible is an influencer. In the book of John, chapter 13, John chapter 13, as we think about who the devil is, I hope that you're getting in a better position to answer your children when they ask you who the devil is. Now, before chapter John 13, 1, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, being loved of his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. Well, it wasn't Judas' fault, was it? It was the devil's fault, because didn't he just take control over Judas and Judas didn't have any control? You know better. Judas made the decision. The devil had a part. having put into his mind to do that. Does that mean he took away his free will? No, he influenced him the way that we're influenced to do things today. 1 John chapter 2 and verses 15 through 17. Lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, the pride of life, that which appeals to us. Overcome that. The world passeth away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. 1 John 2, verse 17. But also, the devil is a father. And you know that by now because we read that in John chapter 8, verse 44, when the Lord told those religious leaders, you are of your father the devil. And the lust of your father you will do. In John chapter 8, verse 44, that's recorded. Acts 13, verse 2. Again, Paul said to the false, the sorcerer, false prophet, thou enemy of all righteousness, thou child of the devil, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? And so he is a father. One last point. Come with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and then verse 1 beginning. Therefore, say we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. We behaved ourselves right, preaching the gospel. Verse 3, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Now watch verse 4. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. Now why would he do that? Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. I told you earlier in the sermon, the devil don't want you to see the truth, don't want you to know the truth and be saved. The devil doesn't want you to see what the Scriptures say. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds, blinded their minds, their eyes, lest the light of the glorious gospel should shine unto them. 13 things the Bible identifies the devil as. And I hope that it's been a benefit to you that in time to come, when your kids say, Mom, Dad, who is the devil? You're in a better position to be able to give them an answer and help prepare them. Should you be in the assembly this morning, not a Christian, you have opportunity to become one. What must I do to be saved? Do what the Bible says to do. Hear the gospel, Romans 10, 17, believe it. Mark 16:16, repent of your sins, Luke 13:3 and 5. Confess your faith in Christ that He is the Son of God, Luke 13:3 and 5. Or rather, Matthew 10:32. And be baptized for the remission of your sins. Acts 2 and in verse 38. You may say, Preacher, I've done that, but I'm not being faithful as I should. Repent of your unfaithfulness, make confession unto God in prayer. We'll pray with you and for you. Don't delay, come right now.